Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Wow, the word is definitely out that the curfew has been lifted in Baltimore. A lot of the buzz over the last couple of days has been about what's happening in Baltimore, of course. Six officers that have now been charged with the death of Freddie Gray, thanks to the Baltimore City State Attorney, Marilyn Mosby, who said that this is what we do when we take care of the situation. We listen to what people are saying, and said there was enough information, evidence to charge these cops with manslaughter to murder. So huge news, needless to say, pretty swift in coming down with this heading into the weekend. And she was quick to say too that, you know, she's from a family of police officers, that her decision to file charges are, you know, because of the extensive police misconduct in this case and what happened here and the death leading to the death of Freddie Gray. So lots of residents, after, you know, thousands of people had taken to the streets in peaceful demonstrations after learning of what was happening here. But, wow, how about that? Gray, as you all know, but in case you don't, died in a hospital April 19th, a week after three of the officers took him into custody on a West Baltimore street. In what Mosby said was an illegal arrest, she said Gray was carrying a folding knife, which is legal in Maryland. Gray's family said it was satisfied with the filing of the charges. And they were telling people to please demonstrate peacefully. I happen to catch this. Tim Clemente, a former FBI agent, was asked about the situation whether, you know, with the people commenting from the Morgan Freemans and other celebrities about the injustice of it all and the white cops and black suspects who often are unarmed and aren't guilty of anything, how can we, you know, allow this to continue in our country? Well, three of the officers that have been charged are black in this case in Baltimore. And in fact, the city government is comprised of mostly black people. So this is a much different story, I think, than Ferguson. But here's what Tim Clemente had to say about some of the comments and what was happening to the people of Baltimore.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And it's unfortunate because Morgan Freeman is a brilliant actor. And if he wants to talk about black victims of terrorism, let's have that discussion. Let's talk about the 147 black Christians that were murdered at Garissa University in Kenya, or the dozens that were killed in the Westgate Mall, also in Kenya, by Al-Shabaab terrorists, or the hundreds of you know, black girls that were abducted and killed by Boko Haram terrorists in Nigeria, or the thousands of other people that have been victims of actual terrorists because of their faith, primarily Christians, that we see in Africa. So these are black victims of actual terrorism. And here's a well-known, one of the greatest actors in my lifetime, talking about police officers who literally lay down their lives for people and calling them terrorists. I think that's terribly disparaging. It's inaccurate, and it's a ridiculous statement to make.
Wow, so interesting, isn't it? I think the debates over what's happened and Marilyn Mosby and the charges in the Freddie Gray case. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. The curfew lifted, the family, again, happy, satisfied with the outcome, but the police ranks are not happy with it and say that this is wrong and they're going to take this to every level that they can. The officer who drove the van faces the most serious charge, second-degree murder, which is punishable, of course, up to like 30 years in prison. Three other officers, including a lieutenant, are accused of involuntary manslaughter, which carries maybe 10 years. Those four officers, along with two others, were charged with second-degree assault and misconduct in office. Three of the six are also accused of false imprisonment. Gray was black, as are three of the accused officers. Three of the officers are white. By late Friday, the six had been released on bail. And this is the start of what will be a lengthy legal process one can imagine. And you already have the attorney representing the police, or representing officially the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 3, telling reporters, "We have grave concerns about the fairness and integrity of this prosecution." Wow. So no officer, he's saying, no officer injured Gray, causing Mr. Gray harm to Mr. Gray, and they are truly saddened by his death. And they're going to continue to push for those police officers. And Mosby was quick to say that she's the daughter and granddaughter of police officers and has been the city's top prosecutor since January. The unexpected announcement of the charges Friday led to people, you know, screaming out in joy, and community leaders were happy and spread the word to clamp down on, I think, some of the kinds of protests that were coming out of Baltimore. So what a turnaround. The charges come 2 weeks after Gray's death, and that's a very quick move on an investigation, very fast. And it had been, you know, think about it, more than 3 months between the August shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson and the prosecutor there, Robert McCullough's announcement that a grand jury decided not to indict Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson. And if you wanted to go one step further, nearly 5 months after Eric Garner died during his arrest by New York police officer Daniel Pantaleo, a grand jury in Staten Island declined to issue an indictment. So that one, this one is record warp speed, I guess you could say, in getting that and handing that out on Friday, just a couple of weeks after the Freddie Gray thing, Freddie Gray's death. Very, very quick. Coming up on America Tonight, we take you for a trip to the movies that were. Remember, we do our cheap movie review. That's happening. If you ever see a movie and you want to send a review of it, thumbs up, thumbs down, what you thought, is it worth investing the $10? Send us your thoughts, americatonight.net, and write movie review, and I'll send you a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field. So we're going to check in there and also tell you the latest on what's happening in Nepal. Terrible situation there, 7.8. on the Richter scale. I was today in Irving, Texas, and I was there, 3.1 on the Richter scale. That's the earthquake that I felt, which was a nothing burger, certainly compared to 7.8 in Nepal. Incredible. All right, hang with us. Promise I'll meet you on the other side. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. cases, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Concert in Tampa is actually where I saw him. I mean, you think of this guy and his music, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987, but I'll tell you, he is a classic, and right now he's in hospice at the age of 89. He was born in a little town called Bena, Mississippi, for those of you who like those historical nuggets, and you think of that town. I've actually been through it, and he was the guy. People started talking about him when he was young, how talented he was. I mean, not just a musician, singer, songwriter, everything, record producer, you name it, and he did it. And B.B. King, somebody asked me the other day, what is B.B. King's real name? Riley B. King, known for blues, of course, R&B, and his guitar, his famed guitar, and he loved to play. Loved to play, 89, and he played for, playing till just recently, until he really took a turn for the worst. Otherwise, you would still catch him. I mean, he just loved it. He loved to play. And boy, couldn't you tell that in his performances? And you absolutely could. And they did a memorial, actually, of his first radio broadcast at the Three Deuces building in Greenwood, Mississippi. They put an official marker of the Mississippi Blues Trail. They put it there. It's really actually pretty cool. And when people see it, they go and snap pictures of it. But the great B.B. King, sick right now, doing a hospice thing. So pretty sad there when you think about it. Over the weekend, it was a big weekend for movies because we're getting close. We're getting close to the holidays, which means that people go to the movies and kids are out of school, and that, you know, creates more of that opportunity to go to the movies for them, certainly to be dropped off depending on their ages. But the Avengers raked in well over $52 million over the weekend. And young Patrick, I love that too, young Patrick, he went to the movies. He asked me if I saw the Avengers. I love the Avengers and the whole Marvel series, but I didn't go and see it yet. And Patrick, you got to give us a cheap movie review. How was it? Was it worth it?
I would say is definitely worth however much you have to pay for that ticket.
Really? So you went, was it crowded? It was probably a great crowd when you went to see it.
To me, it was the perfect crowd. And to me, the perfect crowd is maybe 100 people. But it's usually the kind of seating where you're not sitting right next to someone. There's, you know, usually a seat or two between you. So it was that kind of seating. So it was perfect. And you got good seats right in the middle of the theater and everything. But it was still pretty packed.
I love it. Robert Downey Jr.'s in it. Chris Hemsworth's in it. Mark Ruffalo's in it. Chris Evans is in it. Jeremy Renner's in it. And there are characters. Hawkeye, Captain America, the Hulk, Thor, and Tony Stark, Iron Man. Who's your favorite?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I might have to say my favorite, I don't know, it might be Thor, but I've always been very interested, I guess, in, you know, Norse mythology, so I think that has something to do with it.
Ooh, do you watch, on the History Channel, for everybody listening, there's a cool series called The Vikings. Have you seen The Vikings?
I have not. I think they're in their second or third season now, mm-hmm. and I feel so behind. It was the same thing with me and Game of Thrones. I didn't watch Game of Thrones until the third season was done. I've been so behind on shows lately.
Well, that's one to mark down because it's all about the whole Nordic thing and Vikings, just as the name is, Vikings. It's brilliantly, brilliantly done. Anybody listening to me, it's excellent. I mean, it is excellent. It's totally worth downloading. I think it's free anyway. You can get it on History Channel, so go check it out. Thanks, Patrick. So there you go. His favorite is maybe Thor, a little bit of Thor. I like Thor, too. I just, like, when I was a kid, we read the comic books. You read the comic books? We read the Marvel comic books, and now to see it come to life, I guess it's that reminiscing thing for me. Imagine $100 million to step into the pay ring. Step into the pay ring. It might as well have been lined with dollars. So $100 million, a big payday, mind-boggling, and Floyd Mayweather scraped it up. How about that $100 million. And, of course, Manny Pacquiao still got a big chunk of change, too. That's one night's work. By the time the pay-per-view sales are added up, though, it could be double that. It could be $200 million. The richest fight ever. Maybe not the best fight. It wouldn't make my top 10. But it'll be tough to follow that. Mayweather fighting for what? After he makes history there, $30 million a night? $40 million if he's lucky? I bet if I'm him, I don't know. Hang it up. 48 wins? I say that's it. Hang it up. Go out on a high note. You know how many people were there to watch this fight? 16,507 watched this. And Pacquiao apparently had a shoulder problem that he didn't reveal. That would have helped some of the bettors. I mentioned this before. Pacquiao thought he won, but the punch stat showed Mayweather landing way more punches and even throwing more than Manny Pacquiao. There was no way Pacquiao was going to win it. I mean, he wasn't going to win not doing that. And you, if you watched the fight, you could see it. And Mayweather, his career, think of 48 fights, 19 years. 19 years, that's a long time in that alphabet soup. That's what I called alphabet soup. It used to be about the heavyweights. Not anymore. Now it's such a mixed bag. And I bet you there'll be some people that might call for a rematch, but I don't know that a rematch... I don't know that a rematch would be in the working at all. It wouldn't be. It would have been if Floyd Mayweather had lost and Pacquiao won, because Mayweather would have, for sure, challenged him. But otherwise, no. Kentucky Derby. How many people put a few bucks for fun or just bet with the kids or the friends, hamburgers or whatever? The Triple Crown news is, we'll see, after the run for the Roses, American Pharoah. Now we'll go to the Preakness, one of the Bob Baffert horses, trained horses. And he was in the money twice because the other horse that he had in the Preakness came in third in show. So a very big, big derby for Bob Baffert. A really big derby for him. Wow. Now it's on to Baltimore. And that's a race Baffert has won five times. He knows, well, not that he doesn't know the Derby track, he does, but he has a great feel for the Preakness. And Dortmund, who, by the way, came in third place, is probably going to run in the Preakness too, which, mark your calendars, May 16th. May 16th is the Preakness. And if American Pharoah runs the kind of race American Pharoah won to clinch the Kentucky Derby, look out. Because he should be able to, have an easy time. Well, I shouldn't say easy time of it, but that distance is really good in Baltimore, by the way. If you didn't know where the Preakness was, it's in Baltimore, and it's in Baltimore in a couple of weeks. So if you're keeping a close eye on what we've been talking about in the death of Freddie Gray, the reaction to the crowds and what's happening in the city because of the fact that you have things like the Preakness happening, and they can't have problems with the Preakness, but doubtful that there would be protests around there anyway. All right, hang through. Much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina. so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
The situation that we're seeing in Nepal, I've talked about it. I know many people from the Kathmandu area, as I've spent some time with travel agency where I had some buddies who were placing people in that country and were from there. So we see the death toll and the destruction and how awful it is. And then it's the aftermath and what happens then. Lisa Sarkowski joins us. She's the VP of Humanitarian Emergencies and Executive Communications for the U.S. Fund for UNICEF. Lisa, thanks for spending time with us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for the coverage you've been providing to this emergency.
So what's the first thing that happens? You know you're going to be called upon, you see some horrific thing happens, and then what's the chain of command? You get a phone call and everybody starts to rally around, because it sure seems like you move mountains very quickly.
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, you know, we've had a lot of experience in responding to crises throughout the world. And one of the things that's built into UNICEF's response is sort of an analysis at the end of any emergency response and an improvement. And so if there are ways that we learn from past emergencies, for example, in this case, first priority is to make sure staff are okay to the extent that that's possible. And there were very bad communications, as you know. Communications basically were shut down and damaged or destroyed because of the impact of the earthquake. But assuming staff are okay, there's a plan in place to quickly begin to contact partners to mobilize a response. In this case, we have a regional hub right in Kathmandu, so we did have stocks pre-positioned for medical supplies, some water purification and things like that. It was not nearly what would be needed at this scale, but at least there were some stocks ready at hand to just begin distributing in the hours following the earthquake.
So with the medical supplies and the water purification, you know that there's going to be problems with water automatically. And
absolutely,
that's one of the things that you worked on a long time ago, right? I'm sure you've perfected some of those methods.
Absolutely. And, you know, immediate needs right now, of course, there's a life-saving response going on. You've got to obviously try to locate any survivors and then provide medical assistance to those who are in great need. And right in tandem with that life-saving response is the prevention of a secondary catastrophe, which would be the result of waterborne diseases or, you know, lack of hygiene. And people are in open spaces right now. They're living, you know, some, if they're lucky, have a tarp or some sort of a shelter from the sun and the rain, but they're enclosed in places with no latrines or adequate water supply for washing or drinking. And so that obviously becomes critically important, as you note, in the response.
Yeah, how hard is it to get people in there? Because then, of course, that's the other thing, getting other supplies to them. You know, I know a lot of times, especially in remote areas, you have drops. Will it come to that where there's drops in certain areas?
You know, I'm not sure if that would be necessary. Again, it depends. I mean, as you're noting, there are certainly areas that they're not even reaching yet in terms of an assessment, because these villages are very rural. Infrastructure has been so damaged. So I wouldn't rule that out. I would say, though, you know, that's not always the best course if you can avoid it, because sometimes it's the accuracy is not as good as a delivery would be. And obviously there's going to be a human touch that's needed here as well, in terms of medical support and supplies that can't be managed through a drop, if you will.
So when somebody makes an assessment, it can be UNICEF or somebody else, obviously. Is there a channel to get information to you to say, hey, listen, this is what we're seeing, here's what we need, because you have to be able to assess that as well.
Absolutely. Well, the good thing, again, with UNICEF is that we tend to keep statistics in every single country where we work. So when something happens, we know, for example, how many children. We knew the moment this earthquake struck that 40% of the population was children. And so you extrapolate and you figure out, okay, so then our response will be, you know, how many of those children were under five, you know, and how many, you know, we can also figure out roughly how many pregnant women would there be? How many nursing women would there be? And of course, because our focus is women and children, we would then be able to start the supply pipe, to mobilize the supply pipeline, because a lactating woman may have special needs versus, you know, the general population. Same with infants and newborns. We can sort of predict that the moment something like this happens. And anyway, in terms of mobilizing, this all, again, it happens within moments, and it is based on, you know, this longstanding, you know, work in the country, knowing the country, knowing the population, and also having the channels of delivery and partners on the ground who can, you know, get the stuff where it needs to go as quickly as possible. Now, all of us are hampered by, you know, a loss of communications and or a damaged infrastructure. I mean, those are things that are really hard to work around no matter how much experience you have or, you know, how fast you are. But again, there's pre-planning involved, and to the extent we can work around these things, we do, or find alternatives. You know, we're already landing supply planes. We have a global warehouse in Copenhagen that was immediately packing planes with the necessary supplies, so that as soon as we were able to land the planes, they were getting in. And again, this is where the priority is, you know, getting these supplies in, you know, making sure there's clearance for humanitarian workers to do what they need to do. Also, I think you raised a good point in that, you know, it's about coordination. You can't just, you have to coordinate. And again, this is skilled people who've been working and to some extent anticipating disasters. So there has to be a coordinated response. One must be in contact with the government, for example, which is leading the response, and then all of the NGO actors, whether they're international or local, and the UN and UNICEF are schooled in doing this and making sure that, you know, we're not duplicating efforts, that we're complementing what's being done as much as this is possible in the aftermath of such a major, you know, earthquake.
You know, that's great, not duplicating the efforts. And you mentioned that in talking about Copenhagen and the supply center and talking about the stocks in the beginning. So having those statistics is so vital, right? All that preliminary work that's been done over the years, because you know to have certain things in certain areas.
Exactly. I mean, and it's funny, I'm glad you're raising this point, because it's sometimes people think it's boring and they don't want to talk about the statistics and the data keeping, because that isn't as, you know, front and center as, you know, delivering water and sanitation and nutrition and healthcare. What is absolutely critical part of what we do. Otherwise, we'd be guesstimating, and that wouldn't be serving children, no matter what the response was. And I can tell you, like, the preliminary assessment was done in coordination with the government, and that has to be coordinated so that everybody's getting the same information. We know that, for example, 80% of schools and health centers were damaged in the regions that were hit, and we know what that's going to mean, not just, you know, today, but 3 months from now, and what are we going to do to mitigate that? You know, kids can't be out of school. People are often surprised to know that one of our frontline responses becomes education, and that's because kids who have endured something like this, number one, the psychosocial benefits of being in an organized setting that's safe, that's therapeutic, that's stimulating, that's with their peers. You know, kicking around a soccer ball has more benefits than you might imagine in the aftermath of something like this, where kids just have that chance to be normal. And you know, by nature, kids are extremely resilient and they can overcome a lot of things, but it's our job to make sure that they have whatever assistance we can provide to normalize this experience as much as possible. You have to kind of put yourself in the mindset of a four-year-old who, like, maybe perhaps saw people die, maybe saw her home collapse, her community, her very community collapses. You imagine that? We talk to our kids and they have nightmares about things, and this is a real life nightmare for a little kid. I mean, they actually see their structures around them disappear, and then the earth continues to shake with aftershocks, and, you know, all of the grown-ups around them are in distress, and, you know, everything's collapsed. So you have to kind of get down at that level and imagine what it's like. And, of course, life-saving is first on the list, and preventing a secondary catastrophe. But then right behind that, we have to, you know, and the quicker we do an intervention with psychosocial, we're already doing it, you know, at a mass scale through PSAs and things like that. It's the better the recovery. That's what experience tells us. But certainly education, we do something called school in a box, which is what it sounds like. It's a big metal box. It's everything needed for a temporary classroom that can be set up. And we use these all around the world in the aftermath of a crisis. And it's really meant to be an interim way to get kids into a, even if it's under a tree in the middle of, you know, a debris field, you know, it's a place where kids can go and they start that normalcy and they start having a routine, and the parents can go about trying to do what they need to do and know that their kids are in a safe place and being looked after. I think there's one other thing on the heels of water and sanitation and immunizations and things of that nature, and that's child protection. And again, it's not always something obvious, but with our focus being so narrow on children and what they need, it's obviously in the wake of something like this, and we've seen it in Haiti, we've seen it in other places, you know, it's so easy to separate from a parent when something like this happens. And so we are always extremely concerned about unaccompanied kids and, you know, rounding them up, identifying them, at least for lack of a better way of saying it, you know, almost doing an inventory, if you will, of and holding on to those kids and keeping them safe until we can reunite them with their parents, if that's possible, and if not, with a family member, what have you. But, you know, there's so many kids who are wandering around, they're dazed, because some of them can't even speak, and we saw that with Haiti, too. You know, they couldn't, they're too young to verbalize who they are or what happened to them. And, you know, so we've really got to keep a close eye on that and make sure that we are caring for them, you know, until we can get them to a safer place.
Wow, crazy. We're going to get off the numbers and the ways people can help throughout the show. Lisa Zarkowski, UNICEF efforts, thanks so much. Tremendous information. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thanks for having us.
But
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Attention, do you owe money to the IRS or have years of unfiled returns? Are you being audited or receiving threatening letters? If the answer is yes, you need help. The IRS can seize your property and assets, impose fines and penalties, garnish your wages, and even go after your bank account. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. Don't let the IRS destroy your life. Take action now. Call our team of experts for a free and confidential initial evaluation. We've helped thousands resolve their tax problems. Let us help you. 800-261-7073. 800-261-7073.
In 1965, this was found. Commission time. One more time. One more time. One more time. Brand new sea. Pedal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Down the stretch we go. For this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Remember, all roads lead you to America Tonight, americatonight.net. Over the weekend, American Pharoah, 5-2 favorite for the Kentucky Derby, wins the Kentucky Derby. Now people are talking about this horse as the horse who could win the Triple Crown. But, of course, we haven't seen that since 1978. And the horse was affirmed. It's a great trivia question. Have not seen a horse win all three legs of the Triple Crown. And once the horse wins the Derby, then there's a lot of conversation about could this be the horse that hits the Triple Crown. Now, American Pharoah did exactly what American Pharoah should have done. It won the Arkansas Derby by 8 lengths, came into the Derby as a heavy favorite, had a lot of steam underneath it, looked really brilliant in that race, which is such a long race. And that the Derby now goes to the Preakness, and I would say we'll see. We'll see if this horse really does have the stamina to to pull it all together and win the second leg, and then perhaps be the horse that has everybody talking again, that has everybody wondering whether or not this is this is meant to be. This is the one that's going to break the record. And so I'm not poo-pooing that it could happen, but I think I've told this story before. My second cousin John had one of the horses that everybody talked about, Smarty Jones, as the next horse to win the Triple Crown. And boy, oh boy, did the horse come close. I mean, absolutely. There was a great chance. And Smarty Jones won two legs and lost the third leg, the Belmont, by a nose. Oh, so disappointing. And that's what happens. That's what happens. The conversation turns to, is this the one? Is this the one that's going to do it? I mean, the second, it's like this, boom, they win the Derby. And then automatically the conversation turns to greatness. Is this the horse? Is this the horse that's going to do it? Is the horse that's going to shatter that 1978 record that was set that nobody or no horse has been able to change? All right, so I said we would go to the mailbag, and boy, oh boy, did we get a lot of mail over the weekend. And, of course, we got a lot of mail over the weekend because there was so much that happened. But in particular, what happened in Boston with the police officers being charged really weighed heavily on the minds of a lot of people. So on that note, let's check the mail.
The mail! The mail is here!
Ooh! Yes, indeed. And Jay is our first one up. Jay in Illinois says, Kate, I like the show. I got to tell you, I've been listening to all kinds of commentary about what's happened in Baltimore. Bottom line here is we don't know for sure. Of course we don't. The specifics of what happened with Freddie Gray. It's unbelievable, some of the footage. And when you first see it, you think, wow, what are they doing? This guy's back is broken in half. Then you hear other stories relating to Freddie Gray on both sides of this. So it's really hard to get a great feel and understanding of what happened with the officers and what these convictions are all about. Do you think these convictions are just? Well, I think that we don't know enough. This is the problem that we're jumping to. So if the prosecutor files, you know, charges these six officers, and the six officers, by the way, three of them were black and three were white, it's not going to be easy, first of all, to just think that these convictions are going to just drop out of thin air. So I would assume that this prosecutor feels like she really has massive evidence or enough evidence to do this anyway. But I mentioned before Alan Dershowitz thought that this is crazy. There's a lot of holes in this. And there are other legal experts who are saying the same thing, that the state's attorney, Mosby, is out of her mind with announcing these charges on Friday with the city, not because the city's in turmoil, but because it's not justified, that there's not enough there to do it. You know, you'll have to have a jury convict police officers of murder and manslaughter. It's not going to be easy to do that. And what they're saying is he suffered that spinal injury, the grave spinal injury, because that's what killed him when he was arrested and put into that van where he was handcuffed without a seatbelt. There's all of this conversation about the seatbelt and the transportation in the van. And the prosecutor said, listen, to the people of Baltimore and the demonstrators across America, one of the quotes, because I watched as she was saying this, I heard your call for no justice, no peace. Your peace is sincerely needed, though, as I work to deliver justice on behalf of this young man. So she brings charges less than 2 weeks after his death. And she said her decisions, and she's from a law enforcement family, is that nobody's above the law. But you have all kinds of people, by the way, with all kinds of ideologies, questioning her impartiality, accusing her of rushing to judgment and saying she should recuse herself from this case in the first place and that there's not the strong evidence there. You know, they're irresponsible, the charges, and a second-degree murder count was even filed against the van's driver. Under this legal principle that they call, as my brother explained it to me, a depraved heart. So the decision to file charges was made not based on, some are saying justice, but on crowd control. Like, this is how this goes into this. If we've, this is the way to control the crowd, which would be outrageous if that were, you know, the case. So when the announcement of the charges happened, did it quell the crowds? And the answer is, it didn't really change the mood of the city from people are outraged to they're relieved. So we'll see what happens if they get a conviction, if there is enough evidence of that, and what the jury will decide to do. For example, with the van driver, did he act recklessly enough that he knew it would take this guy's life? I'm going to say no on that. I'm going to say that's not the case. With the police officers, I don't know, because what are the specifics of it? What are the specifics to charge them with you know, manslaughter and murder? And looking at some of the holes in general, there were holes in what happened to him when he got in the van and the second stop and all of that as well. So the video evidence is the thing that's crazy. They don't have any visual evidence at all. So no visual evidence that the officers beat him up. And I think you're going to have experts that they'll call that are going to disagree on whether he was seriously injured when the officers pinned him to the sidewalk and cuffed his hands behind his back. You'll have experts that will say yes and experts that will swear no and give reasons why. And, of course, Gray was recorded asking for medical assistance when he was being lifted into the van, and his feet were dragging behind him. So that part certainly wasn't good. But the rough ride, and that's the term they keep using, the quick stops and the turns and all of that, and how he was slamming around in the back, which was initially what the witness said. He thought he was doing it on purpose. Wow. So I went into a rabbit hole quickly. Let's throw out a couple more. This one from Frank, who listens to us in Sarasota. Kate, we love you here in Florida. And I got to tell you, people are really disenfranchised with what's going on in this country. And now to see the happenings in Baltimore, I feel sorry for all the people in Baltimore. And I can only imagine, after building that city up, to watch it being torn down. People need to have patience and let the system sort it out, because justice will prevail. If this was heavy-handed and these officers don't deserve it, they won't get the time. If one or two of them do deserve it or something can be proven, then they should be punished. And I think you have to let this play out is the best scenario here. This one from Big Al, who says, Katie Kate, what a weekend. Wow, Floyd Mayweather, we knew that was going to happen in the Kentucky Derby. And thumbs up, in a sense, to the prosecutor, who acted swiftly and did what she thought was the right thing. However, I don't believe the jury is going to convict those police officers. And I think it was more about trying to calm the fears in that city that clouded her judgment somewhat. Think of that, what you meant. All right, remember, you can always email us, americatonight.net. Thanks for listening.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.